Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. As we've been doing for the previous 11 evenings, so we do this 12th evening. My son, attend to my words. Put the word of God first place. We're just summing it up that way. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, not only your physical ear, but also the ear of your spirit. For we are spirit creatures, glory to God, made in the image and likeness of God. Glory to God. Jesus said in John the 4th chapter that God is spirit. Blessed be God. And we're made in His image and likeness, and we're spirit. We're not just body, we are spirit that live in a body. Glory to God. And our spirit man should have impact on this physical body. When the spirit man is filled up with the Word of God, he will impact the natural. Amen. Glory to God. Now notice this. Incline thine ear. I mean, whatever the Lord's speaking to you from the Word, we've got to incline our ear to it. Whatever the Spirit of the Lord's speaking to our spirits, glory to God, we've got to incline our ear to it. Let them sayings, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them sayings. I know it's not very good English, but you get the picture. Keep them words in the midst of thine heart. The only way you're going to keep them there is if you keep meditating on them day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Hallelujah. Everybody say day and night. Hold your finger there and just pop over to Joshua, the 1st chapter with me. Glory to God. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. A better translation is, Moffat gives the best. This book of the law thou shalt not cease to have on thy lips. I like the Moffat a lot better. This book of the law thou shalt not cease to have on thy lips, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The only way that I'm going to do what this book says to do is if I'm meditating on the Word of God day and night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, the devil is at work every single day. We've got to be at work every single day in the Word of the living God. And it says this, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, or thou shalt deal wisely in the affairs of life. Notice this, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Our way being prosperous is upon our shoulders. And we can do it, glory to God, by meditating in His Word day and night, and that's the only way it's going to happen. Now, that's not only talking about financial prosperity. That's talking about physical prosperity, mental prosperity. I mean advancing in every phase of our life. Now, when? Day and night, we've got to stay in this Word. Back to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Let them, the words, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And you do that by meditating in them day and night. For they what? They, the words, are life. Everybody say life. For they, the words, are life. I'm going to say it again. The words are life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. And? Life. Spirit and life. These are not natural words. They are spirit words. He said this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Glory to God. For the Word of God, the Logos of God, this Word right here, is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This Word is a living thing. The Quran never says it's alive. But this book has the audacity to say it is living, it is alive. And you plant it and you get life. Amen. Glory be unto God. Get the impact of that, my brothers and sisters. You plant the Word of God in your spirit concerning prosperity, and prosperity is going to grow from it. Amen. You do it with healing, and healing is going to grow. This Word is alive. This word is alive. Everybody say it. This word is alive. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. Go up to chapter 4 of Proverbs again. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, the words, are life unto those that find them. I bring this before you again. To those that find them. That means some people aren't going to find them. There are people in churches throughout this community who are never going to find these words because no one is directing them down the path. They're not going to find the words on healing. They were upset when you put on the sign that Jesus is the healer. That upsets them. Why? Because they haven't heard the word concerning that. And it upsets them. I mean, but if you get in there, glory to God, and have a little direction from somebody, have a little direction from the Holy Ghost, you're going to find out something about this word. This word tells us, by whose stripes ye were healed. Glory to God. Not going to be, ye were. Not tomorrow, ye were. That's past tense. For they are life unto those that find them. If you're missing something right now, If something's missing in your body, if something's missing on the inside of you, you were already healed. Glory to God. You just got to get the faith out there, glory to God, and something that's already occurred. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to get into that more in just a minute. I'm compelled tonight to go over this. I wasn't until I got here and somebody's doing some pulling, and that's good. For they are life unto those that find them, and health. Those words are health to all, there who, those that find them, and health or medicine, many marginal renderings will say, and medicine to all their flesh. This word of this God that we serve, He tells us, and God is not a man that He should lie, He tells us that this word that I hold in my hands, if I get it in my heart and I keep it before my eyes, something is going to happen. It is going to medicate my body. It is medicine for my flesh. Glory to God. Everybody say it's medicine. It's medicine. Glory to God. Turn with me. Well, you don't have to turn here. John 14:10 says this. I'm reading out of the Greek text again as Mr. Bullinger's translation. The words that I speak, Jesus said, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Jesus said that if I come, and Jesus is saying, I'm speaking words, it's God speaking them through me, Jesus said. Whatever works you see me do, it's God doing those works. He said, further did the Father God in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 2, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. God Almighty, when He had something to say, He spoke it through the mouth of Jesus when He walked on this earth. The good thing is that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Glory to God. He is this made flesh. So just because Jesus is not here physically doesn't mean that God's still not speaking. He stopped speaking through Jesus. This is Him without His earthly body. Right here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, I just wish I had Jesus here. You got Him right here. He's just not in a physical body. But this is Him right here. Well, I just wish I could hear Jesus preach a sermon. Just go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the red words, and that's Him preaching. But not only that, you can go on into Acts and Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, glory to God, and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and you can still find Jesus preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the good news. Well, if Jesus was just here, He's here. If He was just walking around, I know I would be healed. He's here. He's here, right here. I'm holding Him. You're holding Him in your lap. See, Brother Brian's got a double dose. He's got two. Glory to God. He's got a double dose. Glory to God. Now, we have been going through the book of Matthew, inclining our ears under the sayings of Jesus. Glory to God. This is a faith builder. This causes us to understand some difficulties that we might have in our faith walk. Remember, the just shall live by faith. everything almost that we've looked at, except for the last 3 days. We're not talking about our diet tonight. Many of you will be glad. Glory to God. Most all of the evenings we've talked about, Jesus' sayings lead us back to the thing that it's not all on his back. He said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." There was the man whose son was the epileptic, and this demon spirit would throw him into the fire and the water. And he said, "Jesus, if thou canst, if you can you do something here?" And Jesus just said, "What can you believe? All things are possible." What can you believe? He said, "Can you?" And Jesus said, "Can you believe that I can?" It's what we believe. Glory to God. It's not all on Jesus' back. He threw it right back on the guy. Hallelujah. Well, we don't want to hear that. Well, you're going to have to if you read the Bible. That's it. If you read the Bible, that's the only thing you're going to hear. The just shall live by faith. Glory to God. And you're going to hear it again tonight. Because if we want our healing, you better understand it. Glory be unto God. And the Lord moves supernaturally by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we have listed in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Glory be unto God. The gifts of healing can go into operation. And instantly, glory to Jesus, healing can come to people. But that's as the Spirit wills. And you could go through your whole life, Christian believer, and God, those gifts might not go into operation on your behalf for that specific thing you need. But one thing you can rest assured of, your faith will work every single day. And that you just keep getting into the Word, and as your faith grows, God will look down on you one day, and God will say, "Ooh, yeah, look at that faith." And bang, you got it. What was manifest in your spirit will be manifest in your flesh. You can always count on that. Glory to God. Now turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Now our first evening, a week ago Sunday, this past Sunday, we used this passage of Scripture as it was recorded in the book of Mark. To start out our series. But I felt impressed that we're going to take a little different trip on this happening that occurred in the ministry of Jesus. So chapter 17, verse 14. Just looking at the sayings of Jesus. "And when they were come to the multitude," remember they had just come down out of the Mount of Transfiguration, if you're familiar with chapter 17 of Matthew. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.'" Jesus got aggravated with people. Jesus just wasn't like, we get this idea, he's little rabbit foo-foo hopping through the forest, you know. Things moved Jesus. Faith moved Jesus. Doubt moved Jesus. But when these people walked with him every day and watched and beheld and handled the word of truth, he got aggravated with them because they didn't grow up in some things. He often said to them, paraphrase, "Why don't you understand this? Why can't you get it?" Hallelujah. In other words, he's just a typical minister. Verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now you go to the other passages that deal with this same story, and you're going to get the full impact if you compare them all together. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?'" Now I want you to notice Jesus' reply, because these are the sayings of Jesus. There are things that we have to participate in the realm of the Spirit to get healings in bodies, ours and others. Verse 20. "And Jesus said," so since it's saying he said, This is a saying of Jesus that's coming up, and we're to incline our ear unto these sayings. Right? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You could not bring healing to this man because of your unbelief. Everybody say unbelief. Turn with me, if you would please, to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Now, you can mark Matthew 17 with a little piece of paper because we'll be going back over there periodically. And if that would help you in your search, then why don't you feel free to go ahead and do that. Chapter 3, verse 7. We're going to look for a little while at unbelief, the basis for unbelief. He said it's because of your unbelief. Well, if we're not getting the impact of God's anointing, just like they weren't getting it, then possibly the same reasons is because there's unbelief working in us. So let's find out what creates this thing called unbelief. You ready? Chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, you might want to underline these next words. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Let me read that to you again, and you might want to make some little notation of it. They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And you remember a few nights ago, we spoke extensively on this passage of Scripture. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Everybody say, heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice this exhortation, this is not what we're going at, but I'm going to make comment on it. Notice that there has to be an exhortation daily, to keep hardness coming in. I mean, folks, this is what I said earlier. You're going to have to get into the word daily. This is the end hour. The day of going 7 and 8, 9, 10, and 14 days without picking up the Word of God at home, those days need to be over. Those days really need to be over. Now notice this. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 14 again. For we are made partakers of the Anointed One and His anointing. I am made a partaker of His anointing if I hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And there's another sermon right there. I better go on, because I might want to preach it tomorrow. Verse 15. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? That generation died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why couldn't we cast this thing out? Why, Master? And He said, because of your unbelief in Matthew 17. Why couldn't we enter into your anointing and deliver this one? He said, it's because of your unbelief. The same reason they couldn't enter into the promised land was because of their unbelief. So we got to read on to chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You need to underline, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Glory to God. Now we have discovered three items in this passage that we've read that is really the basis for unbelief. And we've got to look at them, because if we're going to eradicate unbelief concerning healing, unbelief concerning prosperity, unbelief concerning anything, we have got to come to grips with these three items that we're going to discover from this passage of Scripture. Glory be unto God. Unbelief can be based on, number one, erring in heart. Erring in heart. We're going to discuss it in detail in just a moment. Number two, not knowing His ways. Not knowing His ways. Verse 10, it says, they have not known my ways. Unbelief can be based on, number three, the basis for unbelief, hearing the word but not mixing faith with it. Those three items again: erring in heart, not knowing His ways, hearing the word but not mixing faith with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe that every one of us is going to be able to grasp these three principles tonight in the name of Jesus. Number one, erring in heart. How does that happen? You just simply believe the wrong thing because of information that was gathered. You hear wrong information, you believe the wrong information, and it causes erring in heart. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, you don't have to turn there. I'll just give you a little synopsis of 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. It deals with knowledge. And it deals with some people receiving incorrect knowledge and others receiving information that is based on correct knowledge. He tells us that knowledge puffeth up, but the fact of the matter is knowledge doesn't have to puff up. If you receive correct knowledge, take it for what it is and don't get the big head over it. But he goes on to tell us that some people's conscience, which is the voice of their heart, won't allow them to do certain things because they received incorrect knowledge. Knowledge goes into your spirit. That's why it's essential, glory to God, to get the right knowledge. Sometimes we just believe the wrong thing. And it's because of a lack of correct knowledge. We all have to deal with it, but as it is exposed by the Spirit of God, then we pluck it out. Numbers 13, if you would, please. Well, now, before we go to Numbers 13, let me read the Amplified Bible to you in Hebrews 4, verse 2. The Amplified Bible translates from a manuscript that the King James Bible was not translated from. But many of the ancient manuscripts read this way in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 2. And you can look at your Amplified Bible and look down at the bottom in the footnotes, and it will tell you this. It says, "But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with Joshua and Caleb, the ones who heard and did believe." So many of the ancient manuscripts bring this out. They said, neither were they united in faith with Joshua and Caleb, the ones who heard and did believe. So with that in mind, go back with me to Numbers 13. Numbers 13, because those manuscripts bring into account the faith of Joshua and Caleb, which means that we have to look at the unbelief of the 10 other spies. Do you have it? Here come the 12 spies out of the promised land. They are hoisting that cluster of grapes between two men on the pole. It was so large. They come up before the household of Israel, before Moses, and verse 31 said, let's leave verse 30, that would be a better place. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." That is really good knowledge. That's good information. I mean, that right there It's something that you can base your belief system on. But there were some other people involved. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report out of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." This is not good knowledge, not good information to base your belief system on, because it is contrary to what God said. And I said it's contrary. So because they decided to believe, base their belief system on incorrect knowledge, it caused them to be in unbelief. Unbelief is a belief system, but you're believing the wrong thing. They believed that they couldn't do it. And because they believed that they couldn't do it, it caused their heart to err. Remember, Jesus said, "Take heed what ye hear." Is that what he said? Take heed what you hear. Because what you hear, if it is incorrect information, can cause you to believe incorrectly. And it contaminates our spirits. And then we have to work, some people, for a lifetime getting that trash out. Our spirits are created to receive. That's why you got to get the right information, because your spirit is like a sponge and it just wants information. It wants to believe. It wants to believe. You don't have to sit here, "Oh, I wish I..." No, your spirit wants to believe, but you give it the right things to believe the right things. If you hear your entire life, "Tongues are of the devil, tongues 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 are of the devil." See, tongues have been done away with. Tongues have been done away with. You get into the pulpit, don't watch Channel 3 on your cable TV, because if you do, you will see the works of the devil. Those people speaking in tongues, that's of the devil. Showing forth that emotion, that's of the devil. And I tell you what, a person hears that their whole life and they get to be an older person and they have a difficult time extracting that out of their belief system. Unless you just keep pumping the word in them, and pumping the word in them, and pumping the word in them, and pumping the word in them. Glory to God. And glory to God, if they mess around on the creek bank long enough, they will slide in, but it takes some doing to teach them the truth. Glory to God. They said, "We be not able." Knowledge that is gained by the senses is unreliable. They said, "And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers." They were looking at the way they appeared. They were looking at the bigness of the giants. Let me say it again. Knowledge that is gained by the senses is unreliable. Paul said, "We walk by faith and not by sight." You cannot trust the information that your eyes tell you. It may be factual, but it might not be true. Glory unto God. If your eyes are telling you, "You're going down, you're going down, you're going down. You're going down financially. They're going to come pack up your home and take everything away from you. You are going down." If you listen to that long enough, you are going to begin to believe it, and that is unbelief. But on the other hand, the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's the good information. Glory be unto God. I'm about to preach myself happy. Glory, 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 glory. I said glory. These people erred in their heart because of incorrect information. formation. Now look at Numbers 14:7. Let's just take a look at the correct information. He started out in verse 30 saying, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Chapter 14, verse 7. "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel," did Joshua and Caleb, let me tell you where we're at, "of the children of Israel, saying," here they got up in front of all the company of the kids of Israel, and they said, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord Jehovah delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Piece of cake. "A land which floweth with milk and honey." Verse 9, "For they are bread for us. Their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." That is the correct knowledge. That's something worthy of us to receive into our spirit. It will build faith in us, glory to God, and will keep our hearts from erring. And if they would have followed that, things would have turned out drastically different for the children of Israel. They would have passed the faith test. There's not a doubt in my mind Jesus would have come to the earth sooner, and there's not a doubt in my mind that this thing would have wrapped up a whole lot quicker, because they would have seen something by faith that day that it took them years and years, and many of them have still not accepted it. Oh, glory. So we got to get a grip on it, glory to God. Now, let's go on. We've got to look at what the word of faith says, not the word of doubt. Romans 10, verse 8 says, don't turn there. Romans 10, verse 8 says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth." What word, Paul? The word of faith. If I want to find out something that is good to base my belief system on, it's this, the word of faith. It's not the word of doubt. It's the word of faith. The second item we need to look at from Hebrews, the third chapter, is the second thing, not knowing His way. This is a basis for unbelief. You know, normally we hear four steps, how to have, or six steps to strong faith. We're looking at three steps to unbelief. Number one, erring heart. You just get incorrect information and your belief system is all wrong. You're believing the wrong thing. Number two, not knowing His ways. People simply don't know how God acts. Oh, blasphemy to think that God still does miracles. They don't know how He acts. Blasphemy to think that I can tell things to move and they'll move. They just don't know how God acts. Blasphemy to think that the church of God Almighty can do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus said, "The works that I do, and greater works than these shall you do." Oh, blasphemy. They just don't know how God acts. Therefore, they've got a good basis for unbelief. Hallelujah. The problem is people judge God by man's ways. If it doesn't fall into the way man would do it, it can't be God. I mean, you see that. You see that with these compassion mongers. Pseudo-compassion. Like the termite inspector was telling us just the day yesterday. He said, "Now we've gone to this more humane baiting system because some people are upset that we just come in and lay chemicals and kill all the termites. Somebody is griping because they don't want them to be inhumane to termites." God wouldn't do it. When He said, "I have given them dominion." That to me is the epitome of dumbness. Now let's look on. I want you to hear that again. The problem is people judge God by man's ways. For instance, Israel. God said He would give men's lives for that nation. And some people just, you got a terrorist and he's blowing 16 people into bits yesterday morning and injuring 100 people, and some people are upset because Israel flies in with an Apache helicopter and kills two of the bomb makers. It's darkness. It's satanically inspired. But, oh, God wouldn't do that. And you get religious leaders out picketing in front of the tanks, saying this is not the way God acts. God said, I'll give men's lives. Let me put it in good old Oklahoma vernacular. I will kill men that touch them. Amen. See, people judge God according to their mind. If it doesn't fall into the way man would do it, it can't be done. Man is made in the image of God. Ancient Greeks believed that the gods were made in the image of man. The modernists believe the exact same thing. They believe that God is made in the image of man. Humanists believe that. That we set the standard and God follows the standard. That's why the gods of ancient Greece, they lusted and desired to come down and cohabitate with women. Everything was built on a lust system because man created God in his image. Folks, that's not the way it was done. That's the way the devil wants people to believe it's done, but God's ways are different than what man's ways are. And as long as we believe otherwise, we are going to have a difficult time standing in faith. Modern man, I said, is much the same way, including modern people in some churches. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55. What does the Word of God tell us is the reason for unbelief? Number two, not knowing His ways. People simply don't know how God acts. Look at verse 8 of chapter 55 of Isaiah. Get this, let it sink down into your heart. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Stupid man. Oh. That's the editor's version. Neither are your ways my ways. Stupid man. Notice again without my editorial comments. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Fact of the matter is, people just don't know how God acts. Now notice this, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The second thing of the second basis for unbelief is not knowing His ways. We got to get a grip on this. God thinks and acts differently than we do as mere men. The only way I'm going to know how God thinks and how He does things is to get into the Word of the living God. That's it. That is it. The only way we're going to know how God acts is to look into the Bible and find out how He acts. If He walks, sends an angel into a prison and chains made of steel fall off of a man's arms and break, then God does things differently than we do. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? He just cotton picking does things differently than we do. We'd get out the sawzall with the metal blade and go to hacking. God sends a big old honking angel from his throne to just go, and the thing falls off. And not only that, he walks to the door and the metal door flies open. It's heresy to bring that up. It's in the Bible. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 14, has not changed. He still has ministering spirits sent to minister on the behalf of heirs of salvation. Amen. Hadn't changed. Same God, same book. The third cause of unbelief. Number three, hearing the word but not mixing faith with it is the third basis for unbelief. Now, what's it mean, not mixing faith with the Word? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Man, I'm glad I came tonight, and I'm glad you came. You keep coming, and healing will manifest itself in your flesh. I don't care what it is. Don't care. God doesn't care. It's an easy thing for God. It's light. Nothing's too difficult for Him. He just went out there with His little hand and His little finger and flung the stars with His finger. Hebrews 11, I want you to notice about faith. Hearing the Word but not being mixed with faith. Here we go. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Notice, by faith, Noah moved. Did you get that? The Amplified says, he took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared. When it says he moved by faith, it just means he acted. Faith demands action. Faith is not some little passive thing. Faith demands that we do something. James said it this way, faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith demands action. You can believe and believe and believe, my brothers and sisters, it's very passive. But when faith is mixed with it, with action is mixed with it, then things start to happen. Did you hear what I said? Amen. You know, don't get all upset with God when He says to give and it shall be given. The giving aspect is the action of your belief system. When you give, you are moving on the Word of God. You are acting on the Word of God. Your believing is just saying, yeah, I know God wants to meet my needs. Uh-huh. Yes, sirree, Bob. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Good sermon on giving today. Praise the Lord. Keep up the good work. Hallelujah. Praise be unto Jesus. Well, pretty soon you're going to have to act. I got quite a repertoire of voices, don't I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, really, you know, you got to act. They didn't mix it with faith. They didn't act on what they heard. Well, what did they hear? Here were Caleb and Joshua saying, we'd be able, baby. Uh-huh. Let's go and do it now. It's a good land filled with milk and honey. We'll go in. They are bread. That's a piece of cake because God is with us and we will take the land. And they should have said, put on the swords and let's get to trucking. Here little 16-year-old David was and ran the Philistines out of the land with a rock. Don't tell me God's ways aren't different than ours. Going back to number two. Number three we're on now. Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, everybody say, called to go out. Stayed, believed God for a change, a venue. it says he went out. He acted. Faith demands action. You just say, God, you said it. You must know what you're doing. I'm acting on it. The same thing that the children of Israel could have done, and they would have changed a lot of things. Number one, they wouldn't have had to wear the same clothes for 40 years. They could have been shopping in the Gaza Mall or something. I don't know. The blessing was great of wearing the same clothes for 40 years, but there was a higher blessing. God wants us to walk in some things that He doesn't have to always perform miracles. Just live the miracle life. Live the supernatural through obedience instead of Him always having to perform a miracle to get us to the next stage. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The facts is, by the looks of the Scriptures, about 2 out of 12 people are going to get it in the church. I mean, if I just look, seemingly, not everybody's going to grasp these principles. Now, in this church, everybody, but I'm talking church-wide, it looks like about 2 out of 12 are going to grasp these principles. The Pentecostalism, I mean, all of the Spirit-filled groups, the fastest-growing group of believers in the world today. But I tell you what, there's a lot of folks far behind on the old scale of believers. Thank God for Brother Hagin. Thank God for Smith Wigglesworth. Thank God for these people who knew about faith that God revealed to them and just planted seeds in our spirit, and we just went on from there, glory to God. And now many, 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 many people are receiving revelation from God, disseminating that information into the body of Christ. Thank God for it. Thank God. Thank God. But some are not getting it, and they need to get it. That's why He said, will He find faith when He comes back? Jesus is going to come to the clouds, and He might go, what is wrong with you people? You didn't even expect me to come. Come on. Born again, have no clue He's coming back in just a few months. None. He told the Pharisees, He said, man, you can tell what's going to happen by looking at the sky and its color. You know what's going to happen in the weather. But you can't even discern the signs of the times. What's the matter with you, knuckleheads? Glory to God. Matthew 17 again. The question was, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. There are three items that are the basis for your unbelief. Then he preached it. He didn't preach it, but that's just understood. And he said, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say. Let's just put it this way. If you have faith, four words, you shall say, three words. These seven words are maybe the most important words in Christianity. If you have faith, ye shall say. The seven most important words in Christianity. Because you don't become a Christian without these seven words. For you must believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. If ye have faith, ye shall say. Amen. If ye have faith, ye shall say. Oh, man, I wish I had more faith. If ye had faith, ye shall say. If ye had faith, ye shall say. Seven words will change your life. Seven words will take you from sickness to health. It will take, glory to God, whatever is deficient in your body and make it whole. It will take whatever is deficient in your pocketbook and make it whole. If ye have faith ye shall say. Proverbs, if you would please. The sixth chapter. People err in their heart because they believe the wrong information. Proverbs 6:2 says this, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Whatever your mouth says locks you in to what it says. Proverbs 18:7 says it this way. And folks, we could go on for weeks because you've heard me do it on the subject of speaking God's Word. We're just going to give you a little nutshell here. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A fool's mouth is his destruction. That means destruction comes on people because of their mouths. If ye have faith, ye shall say. Glory to God. Verse 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Did you get that? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips. What he says is going to determine what he's full of. What he speaks is going to determine what his life is filled with. You give me a person that's down and out all the time, and I will show you a person that mealy-mouths and speaks the negative on everything. You show me a person that is constantly in lack, and I hate to say it, unless unless we just recently have changed our confession, I will show you a person who is living. That is a product of what they have said over the years. But glory be unto God, we don't have to get in condemnation, because if ye have faith, ye shall say. You can start changing what you say tonight, and things will start changing. That's the good news, glory to God. Notice, going on, death and life. What? Death and life. What? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What? I mean, your tongue manifests things. It has fruit. Your words bear fruit. Glory be unto God. The correct information is you will have what you say. The first step to not erring in the heart is just believe it. It is God's way of doing things. Matthew 17, verse 20 again. Everybody, those seven words again. If you have faith, you shall say. How can it be any clearer? I don't think it can be. It is important. This is how faith works. I just don't understand faith. Right there, those seven words will explain all there is you need to know about faith. Faith speaks. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Glory to God. It comes by you saying it too. Glory to God. If you don't say it, then you're erring in the heart. Because this is the way God has set up things to be. Hallelujah. If we're not saying it, we aren't in faith. Period. Mark 11:23 says, "He shall have whatsoever he saith." That is correct biblical knowledge. Believe it. Not some words of man, not something Brother Hagin came up with while he was in a delusional state, when he was in the bed of affliction. It's the Word of the living God. The second little item, and not knowing His ways. These men didn't know the ways of God. Matthew 6:33. They didn't know how to drive the devil spirit out, the demon spirit out. They didn't know that they just had to speak. Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified Bible says, "But seek for, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides." Notice this, "and all His righteousness." What is His righteousness? His way of doing and being right. What is righteousness? It's rightness, being right. What is being right? Doing His ways. His ways of doing things. If I walk in righteousness, then I'm doing things His way. If I'm walking in righteousness, then I'm doing things His way. And His way is to say, "Oh, I don't believe it." Well, God said this, "If you have faith, you shall say." What about God? Well, Mark 11. Mark 11. Is this the way God acts? Absolutely. No question about it. This is the way God acts. This is what God does. This is one of His ways. Glory to God. Chapter 11, verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." The marginal rendering is correct, though. Have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. The Greek text says, have the God kind of faith. In other words, God has faith. And He calls on us to have His kind of faith. Well, what kind of faith does God have? "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." He says, say or saith three times, only mentions believing one time. Because if you say stuff long enough, you're going to believe it. Either the good or the bad. If you say it long enough, you're going to believe it. That's why you got to say it. "For if ye have faith, ye shall say." Amen. Oh, glory be unto God, my brothers and sisters. God's a God of faith. Genesis 1:3 says that God was not moved by the darkness of verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 1. Wasn't moved by the fact that there was nothing on the face of the earth other than an abyss, other than tohu vavohu, the Hebrew text. Everything was in total disarray because of the fall of Satan from heaven when he was thrust into the earth. And the globe was covered by water. And God was not moved by that. And God just stepped out on the threshold. I guess he did get up. No, that's my words. I just have this idea of God stepping out on the threshold of the universe like it was a large stage for God to perform His works before the audience of tohu vavohu. And God uttered these next words that have made Him famous. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was, baby. Is God a God of faith? You better believe it. And all of chapter 1 says, "And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said." It's much more compact for us in Hebrew. "And God said, light be, and light was." God created this thing by the words of His mouth. And we know by Hebrews, the first chapter, that it was God the Son, because it was created by Him. So when God's Word went out of His mouth, the second person of the Godhead was going out of His mouth, and the Holy Ghost came to attention and began to move. And light was, then darkness separated, and things started growing on the earth all by the spoken word of the living God. This is God's way of doing things. God stood out on the threshold of the universe, and God said, and things came into being. Then God said, let us make man in our own image. And man was formed from the dust of the earth. Ooh, brothers and sisters, God's not asking us to do something wild. He's just asking us to do something God. Oh, glory be unto God. Think about that for a second. People don't know God's ways. That is why they settle into a life of unbelief and go sadly on their way. News bulletin, news flash. If ye have faith, ye shall say. Faith demands saying. That's what we're to incline our ear to. That's the word of Jesus. I'm supposed to incline my ear unto it. I'm listening. David Oakes, if ye have faith, ye shall say. It's the saying of Jesus. How much do I say it, preacher? How much do you want to be involved in doing something God's way? Man, I just wish I could do something the way God does it. You can. Body, I call you healed. I call you healed, body. Romans, the 4th chapter, says, God quickeneth the dead. Now, that just sounds like a contradiction to man's ears. God who makes alive dead things, quickeneth, makes alive. That's like a contradiction. If it's dead, it's dead. Not to God's ways. God, which makes alive dead things and calleth things that be not as though they were. In other words, He speaks things that be not as though they were. He reaches into the realm of the invisible, the non-tangible, and speaks it even when everything else looks like in the flesh it's against it. If you've got sickness in your body, glory be unto God. If you've got sickness in your body, you can call that thing just like God. He calleth things that be not as though they were. I call my body healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Didn't say to say I'm not sick. Said I call myself healed in the name of Jesus. I had for about a year and a half, I don't even think my wife... I tried to cover it up, but I had a growth right underneath my wedding band, right under the edge of it. And every day, many times during the day, every time I'd look at it, I'd say, I curse you, you are dead and you are off my body. I call my hands clear of growths in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did it every day. I did it every day. Well, just recently... then you just start, you walk by faith, and just recently, it's gone. It's gone. Not surgically removed. Look at that. It was right there, and it's gone. Well, how does that work? You call things that be not as though they were. You curse that thing, just like Jesus did the fig tree. Jesus cursed it. He used words. Now, see, I believe this stuff. I like doing things the way God does things. Some people would have gone, had it hacked off. But I like, there's something satisfying about living life like God lives life. Amen. Are you listening?
Hallelujah.
If you got a problem, you start calling it. Call things that be not as though they were. That's God's way of doing it. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. And that's also righteousness. You're acting in a righteous fashion because that's God's way. The third item we looked at again was hearing the word and not doing it. That's the basis for unbelief. Well, you've heard this now. Do it. You've heard it. Do it. If you have faith, you shall say. Just do it. Take control of your tongue and stop talking about things you know nothing about and just do it the way God says. I don't have any money. Well, what do you know about it? When His treasure chests are filled with wealth and riches, you're not speaking the truth. He's given you access to that treasure chest. You just have to access it with the words of your mouth. Oh, some of you, I think you might be getting it. You got to start speaking the word. Amen. Now remember the definition for diligent we gave the other night? Characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic application and effort. I mean, you got to be energetic about this, glory be unto God. You got to be energetic about it. Whenever you're paying your bills, say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have more than enough in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice what he says again in Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You have faith, you shall say, nothing shall be impossible to you. Now this is the glorious thing. Matthew 19:26. Just over a page. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, this is a saying of Jesus, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's an impossibility to men, but with God all things are possible. Go back here to the 20th verse of chapter 17. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith and you shall say it, you move into God's realm then. It said, nothing, but with God all things are possible. Now he's saying to you, nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you do it God's way, you live on the level with God. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. And how do we do it? By saying it. We can live in the realm of God's impossibilities. Man's impossibilities, glory to God, and we can just walk in that realm of things that are possible only because of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You function on the realm of God by doing things His way. If you have faith, you shall say.